Welcome to Vibe Talk Music. I'm your host, Vibe Queen. In this season, we will get vulnerable with a variety of guests discussing their journey to self-awareness and how we can level up the collective consciousness in the music industry. So let's vibe and talk music. This episode is brought to you by Artist Collective, guiding artists and entrepreneurs through the music industry. Learn more and join for free today at artistcollect.com and get back to the music. Excited to have this week's guests. We're back with the original hosts. So I'm Vibe Queen. We have Evan Price, CEO and founder of Artist Collective. Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for taking a moment, coming back on the show. It's season three. It's almost the two-year anniversary of Vibe Talk Music. I had the Facebook reminder pop up of its inception. So thank you for coming on. How do you feel?
No problem. Thanks for having me. Glad to be back. It feels like yesterday that it just started. The season one, I mean. Yeah, I'm feeling good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, I feel really fortunate that Vibe Talk Music has had such a natural progression. I feel like as I've grown as a person, the podcast has also grown and has been a true reflection of my growth. So it feels really good to kind of come full circle and kind of catch up with you, see where you're at with your mindset, with your business, and really just vibe and truly just talk music, literally the title of the show. So yeah, give everybody a snapshot as to where you are at as far as your mindset, and maybe give everybody a glimpse into what spirituality means to you now. Is the definition the same for you? Has it evolved? Can you share a little bit about what that word means to you now?
Absolutely. I guess mindset wise, looking back at season one, pretty much in a similar spot. What was that, about a year ago, I think? But it's mainly just about growth. And to answer your question about spirituality, you know, that kind of inner peace comes to mind. Those two words come to mind. And just manifestation on what you really want, what your intentions are really important to me and in my mindset right now. You know, from growing the business to, you know, growing my own personal growth as well is really important. And I think before, you know, I was into spirituality, I saw those two things as two very separate things, when of course they're not. It's very much aligned. Who you are is very much aligned with, you know, what you're doing, what your intentions are, in terms of business or personal growth, whatever, it doesn't matter. But yeah, spirituality, inner peace, man, like being okay with where you're at in the present moment. You know, my favorite episode I did with you was the one on the power of now. I think that was like episode one too. Like, that's still by far my favorite one, just because we really went in and shed some light on what being present even means and how it can change your life. You know, being an entrepreneur, a young entrepreneur, I was always like, oh, I'm not going to meditate. I'm like wasting 10 minutes. That's stupid. You know what I mean? Like, I'll meditate when I sleep. I'd say things like that. And now it's like such an important piece of my life to just slow down. And actually, it's more than just meditating in that moment. You know, you take that with you every second of every day when you try to stay present. So things like that, you know, from our conversations. And I very much enjoyed season one with you, because I don't think this is, and that's kind of, excuse me, the title of what this is. Like, I don't think this is talked about enough in the music industry. It's always go, 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 you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But what about, you know, taking care of yourself? What about trying to do something great for the world? Like, it's not all sex, drugs, and rock and roll, for sure. It definitely isn't. So I think this is super huge to discuss. And I'm glad to be doing it again with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those that are maybe a little bit new to the concept of, you know, the power of now, can you kind of explain the gist of it and how you perhaps still incorporate that into your daily routine? Just remembering to pay attention, what you're paying attention to.
Right. It's really just, the best way to describe it is, yeah, taking the practice of meditation when you're, you know, focusing on your breathing. It's much more than that, but that's the best way to describe it. Doing that in your everyday life, in your, and we both use the word intentions a lot. And it comes down to, you know, being aware of what you're trying to do instead of just being caught up in the motion of, you know, I talk with artists all the time and that's what they say. They're just like, yeah, I feel like I'm just, you know, getting up and like I'm, you know, a cog in a wheel type of thing. So being a little more intentional is important. And before you can drive your actions with your intentions, you have to be aware of them first. So slowing down, living in the now, it could be as small as walking down the street and not listening to music and just listening to the birds and then like observing everything and getting out of your mind a little bit. So it's a lot. It's a lot to, I guess, hash out, but it's just as simple as living in the moment. It's as simple as it could be.
Absolutely. It's not easy, but it's simple. Smart. For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit about Artist Collective and the business and the growth. I know you've definitely expanded your team. Can you talk a little bit about what has happened over the past year?
Sure. So those of you listening that aren't quite sure what we do, we are a new kind of artist development company. It just so happens we're in the right space at the right time because of all of these closures from education, you know, from high-end colleges to elementary schools. Nobody's meeting up in person right now. So it just so happens that we're in the online education business, essentially. And it really just starts with educating the artists, giving the artists resources to help them grow their business. And it doesn't happen overnight. Just like you go into college and you getting a job, it's not going to happen overnight. It takes at least 4 years plus. Same situation. You know, you have to come here, show up, actually execute on the things that we're providing, and over time grow a brand and grow a business and start to see money coming in. So you mentioned something about the growth. Yes. So recently we've been bringing on a couple new members to like the management side. Shout out my guy, Willie Chill. He is head of our digital marketing now. So he is helping not only with courses related to how to run your own ads, because come on, that's huge. Before, artists had to get a label deal in order to get enough money to reach people because they had to print CDs, which cost, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. They had to put up posters. They had to hire a street team all over the country to actually give a crap about the artist and post things up and, you know, tell their friends. Now we have this. So none of that's really needed, you know? So if you know how to directly go from your music to your fans using digital ads, it will change your business. Like, so, and that's something that a lot of digital marketers know, and a lot of, you know, Fortune 500 companies are like, yeah, you know, McDonald's and all these places are running ads for sure. But do artists that are barely making ends meet know how to run successful ads? Probably not. So we are here to help guide them through that process, show them real life examples. And that's what's happening this month with Willie. He's also helping them run their own campaign. So he's running campaigns for them on their behalf as well. But I think it's really important, you know, tying back to what I feel like our company is changing with the music industry, it's tearing back that curtain. Since I've been in it, it's always been, you know, there's always gatekeepers in place. Like, no, we're not going to show you how we're doing things. You just have to sign the dotted line and we'll all do it. We're going to keep you in the dark. You know, you Google artist getting out of contract and the stories are flooded to you on how many artists are like, I wish I would have just signed my contract. I'm getting screwed over and I don't know what they're doing in the back end. I want to destroy that. I want to show everybody what it's like and what the real work is. And at that point, if they're like, you know what, I do want to hire someone, then they at least know what's going on. I think transparency is really, really huge, and it's something that the industry is missing. So, but growth is good. Like, everybody's at home, you know, some people are losing their jobs. Some people are getting paid more than they ever did on unemployment. So now is the time that people are starting to wake up to be like, yeah, I should maybe go all in on myself now. I should maybe believe in this because every industry is fragile as they're seeing. Like, people that they've never thought would lose their jobs are being laid off, especially in the music industry.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say the two things that have drastically changed my outlook as an artist is, number one, branding, for sure, which I know you're an expert in. And hand in hand with branding is figuring out what your other interests are as an artist, which can then branch off into either selling products or selling a course or selling other aspects of your interest, which can then become another stream of income, which is kind of where I'm at now. And then I would say the second thing, which I think is so undervalued, and I know you've been kind of telling me this, and I totally did not, you know, fully embrace it until now, and that's email marketing. And I feel that every single artist needs to jump on this. And I'm so grateful that you're really like tapping into that now, because that's really where the sales happen. And so if you can fully understand how email marketing works and the psychology of sales, and now I'm really in this mindset where I'm looking at my habits and how do I spend my money and what converts me to whip out my credit card, and I'm starting to pay attention to that. It's actually not that hard once you kind of figure out what makes people want to buy. And so if you can do that as an artist, it's not that hard to then convert people and listeners into super fans. And I'm finding that very often people that I'm listening to, I actually want to support them. And I'm sometimes bummed out where I'm like, there's nothing, you're not even selling anything. There's nowhere for me to actually support you or stream you because you're on SoundCloud or whatever. And I'm like, you don't have your ducks in a row. You don't have a website. And I'm like, oh, you're actually leaving money on the table. So it's interesting how something as simple as branding and having things just there can convert into money. So can you talk a little bit about that and how Artist Collective, if an artist is listening, can help guide a musician and take their career to the next level and actually turn it into income that isn't reliant on streaming? Because I think we have it in our heads that streaming is an income source, but really it's not. And like,
Listen, it can be, but not in the first 5 years, most likely.
Exactly. That's at least.
Right. Absolutely. To answer your question, I think branding is the first thing, is figuring out what you're trying to build instead of just blindly going in and be like, I want to make music. It's like, okay, cool. That's great. Skipping ahead of that marketing funnel that you're talking about and just saying, cool, I have an Instagram and now people will buy stuff from me. No, you're missing the entire middle part of the funnel. That's where the magic happens. So I think just breaking it down, the way that we help, especially with my mentorship programs, really diving deep into who you are, you know, building an authentic brand. Because the reason that that's so important is exactly what you're talking about with the email marketing on why people buy. I'll tell you, emotion. That's why. That's what. If you can use emotion, not in a, like a maniacal way, but like if you can use authentically emotion-driven things, it will bring more fans of whatever you're doing, whether it's a, you know, music brand or you're selling pottery, it doesn't matter. Like, how can you tap into your potential customer's emotion to help guide them into hopefully purchasing? Because that's the goal. But it all starts with that brand. If you're just, you know, making music to make music, yeah, the music might sound good, but that's only going to get you so far. The one-hit wonders exist because of that reason. They haven't tapped into what they're doing after the fact. Yeah, they love that song and it's going to the top, but if people are like, yeah, I don't know much about them, they'll stop caring. You know, Lil Nas X is one. I'm sure he's got great success and he's making a lot of money, and that's a rare example where, like, yeah, royalties actually helped him. But I'm talking, is he going to be successful for the next 20 years? I don't know. If he doesn't set that brand up and like figure out what he's about, that's at least what I believe. And starting with that is crucial, just like we did with you and I, like just breaking it down. Cool. What do you like? Like, what are your passions? Where could this brand take us? I said in an interview the other day, I feel like what happens is, let's look at, you know, the biggest stars ever, like Drake and Beyonce. They like eventually go into like starting their own label or a perfume line or making their own sneakers. What I'm saying is, let's start all that stuff now. Don't wait until you're huge. Like, start thinking about those things right this moment, because that might that might give you some more eyes, which then will lead to your music instead of just focusing all on pushing this song too. Like, so trying to think of it as an overall brand, a lot of times it's challenging to get through to them to say, hey, this is important. I know it's scary because it's very vulnerable and you're leaving everything on the table because that authenticity is what's going to help sell it. And some artists aren't ready to take that plunge, which is okay, but there's just no shortcuts. You have to eventually do it. And that's something that I personally, we talked about in season one, like I had to come to that realization too. Like you can't just, it's more than just doing the work. Like you have to stand for something.
Ooh, you have to stand for something. So let's segue into that. So I know you mentioned some heavy hitters, Drake and Beyonce. And, you know, I know for me with COVID and just being in the house and, you know, further awakening, if you will, I came across some life-changing documentaries. So I know you've come across some life-changing documentaries that we've both watched. So I would love to talk about that and just kind of get your opinion on that. You know, I've had some guests on the show that kind of talked about it a little bit. So let's start with Out of Shadows. I know you've seen it as well. What were your first impressions? You know, was it something that you immediately, you believed everything that you saw? Did you question things? Were you kind of like, ah, this isn't true? Did you go on down the rabbit hole of researching everything? Like, what was it like for you? Because I've spoken to quite a few people, both artists, both people that are not in the industry, and I've heard a variety of different answers. So I would love to hear your take on it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely things in it that made me like, I could observe myself being like, bullshit. You know what I mean? But I think that's why when you go into heavy stuff like that, it's important to have at least a good grasp on your self-awareness, being able to identify, oh, I'm thinking that because of this X, Y, and Z, instead of just thinking it and then continuing to think it. You know what I mean? That really understanding what cognitive dissonance is and like how it comes up in your everyday life, that's important before you go into this. So that being said, I felt like I had a pretty good grasp on all that stuff. So I was able to be aware of like, oh yeah, I'm starting to not really believe this, but this is why, but this makes sense. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, overall, yeah, I think it's probably true. I think it's probably, I mean, especially the Hollywood stuff specifically, because it covered a lot yeah. of interesting things.
Right.
Specifically just using the art of, you know, mind control through the things that we see. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Let's break it down. If you're listening, you have zero idea what we're talking about. What do you do when you get in the car? What do you do when you come home? What are you doing? You're most likely consuming some kind of media, TV, Netflix, Hulu, podcasts that are curated. All of those are curated pretty much by the same people. It's pretty obvious. So of course there's going to be independent people, but eventually it gets up to the top and the large corporations consume their content. You know, you see that with Joe Rogan. Now, does Joe Rogan really have a good grasp of his content, or is it a little bit controlled? Is it a little bit manipulated? So over time, you know, think about, you know, 15 years, 15, 20 years, I'm 30. So 30 years of watching content that was curated by like pretty much the same people. That could change the way that I think. You know, when you look at, when you peel back the curtain of mind control, like you picture like somebody hypnotizing you and like making you do crazy things. It's not that complex. It's just consistent content over time can change people's behaviors, can change the way people think. So overall, yeah, I think Out of Shadows is onto something. I recommend checking it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree fully. And I think that's the key. And that's the key to everything, is that it comes down to awareness. I just started watching a documentary on Netflix. The title is slipping my mind right now. But it was talking about how even on dating apps, they use all of your data. So what you've posted on Facebook, on Instagram, they grasp literally everything. And, you know, when you're swiping, so it's like when you're the most lonely, like everything. And they match you with people based on attractiveness level and all of these things. And so they were interviewing this lady and she wrote a whole book about it and all of this. But I took a moment and was really thinking about it. And I'm like, well, how do you expect them to match you with someone that's compatible? They have to look at your behavior. They have to get that data from somewhere. You know what I mean? They're not just pulling it out of thin air. Or they're going to match you with any old body. So it does make sense, right? So what I really came, when it really came down to it, the conclusion I came to as a consumer is that it comes down to awareness. I think people are okay with their privacy being given up because we post things all day long. It comes down to being aware. And so the reason why I encourage people to watch Out of Shadows and documentaries and kind of go down that rabbit hole is that once you become aware, you then have a choice. And then you can make a choice. It's like, okay, do I want to be with a major label? Do I want to subject myself to these things? You then have a choice. You know, you can be aware of the choices you make. And I feel like that's so important. People can choose how they want to proceed. And I think that's what's not fair when it comes to media and what you were talking about with the mind control, because people are not aware that they're being fed something and that they're being literally almost in a trance, and they're not aware that they're that they're seeing something and they're not objective to it, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, I mean, I what we're kind of describing is like what everybody, if you haven't seen the movie The Matrix, you're missing out. Go and watch that freaking movie. But people, like, you know, always try to not like joke around, but like fantasize, oh, I think we're actually in the Matrix. Now let's break that down. We could be in a form where, you know, my body is like in a pod somewhere being energized by aliens. That's essentially what, or the robots is what the premise was. But in a way, we actually are. If we're being brainwashed and if we're being mind controlled through Hollywood, they are telling us that we're living in a world that we're actually not living in. So technically we are, when you look at it that way. You know what I mean? So it's just an interesting, you know, again, yeah, I'm glad self-awareness is up there at the top, because that's really what it's about. Being aware of like other possibilities. Like, don't just go, you know, on Hulu to watch your stuff. Like, go on YouTube. Let's listen to independent people that aren't, you know, most likely not controlled by billions of dollars. People that, you know, people like us, that we just want to talk about the truth and like bring other aspects, instead of like labeling someone a conspiracy theorist. Let's hear some people out, because things aren't always, you know, people aren't always crazy. It's just interesting points of view. And like you said, being aware of it first, and then you can make a decision like, no, I, you know what, after processing, I don't believe that. That's great. And the coolest part of Out of Shadows, I use the term conspiracy theorist, is that it's known that the CIA created that term to help deter people, because it's putting a negative connotation. So it's like, yeah, of course, we make up words all the time. So it's, how is that even a huge, far-fetched idea?
Right. And so many theories have come to light now, right? So it's almost, what, how many conspiracy theories are left? So many things have become declassified, you know, with the UFOs and things like that. So it's like, those things are facts now. And there's still people out there denying this as truth when it's become fact, like it's become declassified. So it's very interesting how that's happening. Very, very interesting. But yeah, I agree with you. I always say consider all narratives. And I use that word very carefully, consider. I'm not saying my truth is the ultimate truth. I'm not trying to convert anyone. I'm not trying to push it down anyone's throat. I'm just saying consider, you know, just consider it. That's it. Consider it. Have an open mind. And just like you said, if you don't agree with it, then you can always reject it, but at least have an open mind. And that's what I'm finding often, is that when people shut out other narratives and they're very stubborn or steadfast in their belief, you're actually doing yourself a disservice, because you're not allowing yourself to then grow. And I believe that if you're not allowing yourself to have an open mind, regardless if it's something like Out of Shadows, it doesn't really matter what it is. If you don't allow yourself to have an open mind, even in like business, then you're not allowing yourself to be able to grow, because you're staying stuck at the knowledge, the level of knowledge that you know. You know what I mean? And I think that's a very unfortunate way to live and an unfortunate way to be, because how can you elevate if you don't allow yourself to be open to more knowledge? You can be way more elevated and ahead if you just allow that. Who knows what that seed can spark in you for you to grow even further. I know for me, sometimes just one word or sentence somebody will say, you know, it may not hit me in that moment, but a week later, it'll just like, boom, it just made sense. Like something somebody just told me yesterday, because I've been really focused on manifestation, is that you don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, whoa, that is so true. We're always so focused on attracting what we want, but you really attract what you are. You have to be on that same frequency in order to attract it. And so just something as simple as that, I'm like, okay, that just shifts everything into perspective. So yeah, just having an open mind, I think is so, so key.
Right. And I'd love to dissect that a little bit, because I think that's, you know, a lot of what the law of attraction is really talking about is, let's break it down and say, you know, you want to be a millionaire. Now, breaking down what you said, that doesn't mean spend money like you're a millionaire. That means in your mind, it's already happened. It just, you already are a millionaire. It's just got to happen. You know what I mean? Like, so I think just to dissect that a little, like, disclaimer, like, that doesn't mean go and spend money like that, mm-hmm. or, you know, really even the fake it till you make it. But it's more of a, I think you're describing more of like a mindset, right?
Mindset, yeah.
Got you. Yeah. I mean, I think that's, yeah, that's another one too. The Secret is a really interesting read. It's even more interesting documentary that you can find online. But as outrageous as it seems, I think the values there are true. Like, that's manifestation, is you're attracting that. And it's not by doing, it's just by being, for sure. Yeah, I agree with that.
Absolutely. Can you share any examples of how manifestation has worked in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I think a great example is, let's tie it into recently, having new team members on board. I wasn't going around saying, oh, I'm so overworked, I need people to help me. I was just like, hey, I'm manifesting the people around me. I'm doing the best work of my life, and I'm not focusing on the negative. And eventually those people will show up because I believe in this. And they did, like, almost overnight. So I think just like, because for a while, I mean, I've been doing this since, started in 2013, basically alone out of my dorm room. And I was in that mindset. I was in the cycle that most people, you know, a lot of people are, where it's just like, oh, doing, being upset, being depressed because you're not making enough money, angry because you've pivoted too much already, and now you're confused on what the business is, you know, the proverbial, you know, slamming your head against the wall over and over. So I think once I got out of that and was just like, you know, I'm just gonna live my truth, as you would say, live my truth, and people will find me, and the money will find me, because it will. I don't do it for the money. I've always said that, you know, I'm just trying to do this to make a living and not have to live paycheck by paycheck, which I believe a lot of artists probably said those exact words. So that will come. I think more of it's, I was more focused on like manifesting a team, because with the team means growth, which with growth means more income and helping more artists. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's a good example. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't actually happen overnight. It happens with high and, you know, heavy intentions, journaling. I know that sounds like the simplest thing you could ever do, but I've talked to you about this, I think in season one, where I was like, I never took a diary on stuff. I was just like, no, a girl, that's for girls. I'm not going to talk about my thoughts.
Right.
So, and once I started to do that, just like, it really changed. Maybe it's not every day, maybe it's not every night, but just like, even in your phone, it doesn't have to be some fancy diary that you lock and put under your bed or anything, but just making notes on like how you're feeling, things like that. A good example, I don't think I talked about this before, but the first time I ever actually started journaling is while I was going through my divorce. I would journal like every day what my thoughts were and how I was feeling and what was happening. I still have them too. I don't go back and read them, but every day I did that. And I think that was like the stepping stone to be like, cool, that can translate into, you know, other, you know, non-depressing things. Like it could go in positively. Like, this is what I want to happen instead of this is what I'm like being sad about. Because I think over time that just like brought more sadness, but it helped me as a stepping stone into actually, what do you call it? Future self journaling.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Things like that. You still do that?
I do. Not every day. I was very, very good at it for a while there. And then I fell off, but I did future self journal today. So I will be doing it every day again. So making that commitment to myself.
Can you break that down real fast for people that don't know what that is?
So I would suggest following the holistic psychologist, the.holistic.psychologist on Instagram. She has a template. You go to her website. But basically, it's super simple. It takes about 5 minutes, and you're journaling in the future tense. So you're basically saying things like what you're grateful for. You have I have an opportunity to be my future self, .. 3 traits my future self has, .. So you're talking about who you are in the future sense, hence the name future self journaling. And so you're putting yourself in that position of who you are in the future, and it kind of gets your mind going in a way of who you want to be and placing yourself in that mindset. And so it really sets my day up for success. I do it right after I meditate usually. And it also helps me with content creation. So for those that follow my page, you know, I have a segment called The Daily Vibe and, you know, mantra and things like that. And that kind of gets my creative juices going to like create that content as well. So journaling will help me with that, even with blog ideas. So, you know, I encourage for those listening, those tools can help you come up with captions, songs. Like I let it just kind of come organically, so it's not forced. And if nothing comes up, then nothing comes up. Sometimes I'll just jot down concepts. And that way, you know, when I'm in that creative mindset, I have things to work with. It's not just a blank page. Or when I'm feeling writer's block, I have a whole, you know, list of a brain dump of ideas and concepts that I can pull from. Whereas in the past, I would never do that. But now whenever I have a thought, I just write it down immediately. So I have that to go back to. So it's something I would definitely suggest everyone do.
Yeah, I mean, you were literally just describing manifestation on a notepad. It's essentially what that is. That's crazy. Crazy as in crazy incredible. Not crazy as in like a crazy cat lady.
I mean, that's fine. I pretty much embraced the craziness that comes with spiritual awakening. So it's right. All good. So something I want to ask you, because I'm currently reading 3 books right now. All 3 books are pretty incredible. What book are you currently reading, or what book would you highly recommend someone to read that has truly impacted your life besides The Power of Now?
Well, I remember the 3 that I listed down for you. If you are an entrepreneur, and tying in, I think what ties in best with like us talking about building a brand and going off your passions is got to be Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk, to be exact. That was really like an aha book that I read. And I was just like, oh, I've been thinking about this all wrong. You know, I've been forcing, you know, square, what is it? Square pegs into round holes. I feel like instead of just being authentic and just trying to make money off of what you're already doing. Basically, making money off of something you would do for free is the ideal. Like, come on, that's the dream, right? That's the American dream right there. Doing something that you're getting paid for, you're making a living on something that you would literally do for zero money, whether that's playing music or, you know, doing hair or meditating or doing yoga, whatever it is. So I think that book really helped me start that process of like thinking outside the box and bringing myself into it instead of being this facade, this company and quit me being behind the scenes. Once I started to be like, yeah, I'm going to take ownership and I'm like going to be like a real founder, CEO, things changed. And a lot of that comes with, you know, moving past self-doubt and moving into very vulnerable state when it comes to social media and things like that. So that book for sure. There's another book that I didn't list. It's called, it's really long. I think it's Transurfing, which is reshaping your reality in like 72 days, something like that. It's pretty powerful stuff. It's made to be like each day you read this section, and at the beginning of the day you read it, and then you actually try to use the tasks and the things that it's saying for that day. And then day two, you would do that one and the one in day one. So it's pretty intense. It's mainly that's more of like the spirituality stuff over like building a brand. Cause it's a lot of manifestation, believing that you already have it before it's yours, that you just have to go and get it type of things. That was recommended to me by a friend, and it has been crazy. I actually got sent two. I think I gave that one to you, unless Tyler still has it.
No, but I would love
to. You would love that. Yeah. I'll grab you one.
I love a good book recommendation. So right now I'm reading a book called, The Consciousness of the Atom. Can you see it? This one? Mm. Absolutely. It's a very esoteric book. So you have to kind of like reread the sentence a couple times. It's almost like when you read Shakespeare and you're kind of like, what the heck did I just read? So right. It's a very, like, the language is very deep. So it's kind of like, okay, I don't really understand what I'm reading. And then you read it a couple times. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. So it's very deep reading. Because I'm taking a 2-month spiritual psychic intuitive course via Zoom. So it's this lady who taught how to bend metal with your mind and how to stick coins to the wall. So yeah, so I'm taking this course. And so she recommended this book. And it's a really, really good book. So it's really just talking about how we're energy. The consciousness of the atom and how we're made up out of atoms. So it's a really, really good book. Highly recommend it by Alice Bailey. She's written over 25 books that just talk about these deep, deep topics. Only 25, I know. And she wrote it over 100 years ago. And then there's another book that I highly recommend. It's by Montauk Chia. And it's there's a book written for women and a book for men. And it's basically talking about something that is a new concept for me. And I know we talked about it privately. And it's talking about the concept for men, it's semen retention. And for women, this is something I just discovered, because as women, obviously, we can't do that. And it's ovarian breathing. And that's basically, I know.
What?
That's basically how you keep your life force as a woman, which is just like, so for men, it's semen retention. And for women, it's ovarian breathing, apparently. And so, yeah, I'm reading this book and I'm about a third of the way through it. And it's like pretty mind blowing stuff. So once I'm done with it, I'm definitely going to share my thoughts. And I definitely think women should be reading this. I definitely think guys should be reading about the semen retention. Definitely want to get your thoughts on it. I know you're doing a challenge. I don't know if you're in a place where you want to talk about that. I know for women, for sure, when it comes to all of that stuff, being able to retain your energy is so key, just being able to keep that mental clarity. So it's a really fantastic book. I highly recommend it. So just some books that I wanted to throw out there so people can find and check it out.
To touch on that first book, I've even always told you this. I really feel like you're the Miss Cleo of the 21st century. So I'm glad you're embracing this psychic stuff. And like, I think hers was a little bit like more, it was like back when like calling in, you had to call in on the teleprompter or whatever. But I really think that that's like your lane for sure. And I think it's really cool to see you breaking out of that typical artist mindset was just like, yeah, I'm just gonna be a singer and tour the world and just sing. It's like, you could do that, but what about these other things that, again, you would probably do for free because it's just part of you. I think it's cool to see that that's it actually working in real life. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just embracing it, you know, just embracing it and kind of just sharing it in real time. And that's the thing I took away from Crush It and just from Gary Vee in general. He talks about documenting, you know, just documenting your life as it's happening. And that really shifted my mindset, because previously I would be very fixated on making things perfect and mm-hmm. having things very staged, or it needs to be just right before I can post it, right? Especially as an artist. And so once he just kind of shared this mindset of just document, you know, just, oh, I just need to document my journey. It doesn't have to be perfect. Okay, that took off so much pressure. And it also made me realize I have so much more content. It doesn't have to be the finished product. And so, you know, and I posted this on Vibe Talk Music's Instagram yesterday, is that you need to focus on the process, not the result. And that was huge for me because I always focused on the goal. I always focused on the end result. And, mm-hmm. you know, the process then was just whatever. And I was also not enjoying the process or the journey because I was so fixated on the goal. And then when you hit the goal, it's like this temporary moment of enjoyment. And then what, right?
Yeah, there's always a new goal. Like, nobody's exactly. going to hit the goal and be like, cool, I can die. Like, I'm done. Like, no, that doesn't happen. Like, that just doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give for those that may still be in that mindset, or maybe they're hearing what I just shared for the first time, like I did, and they're like, wait, what? Enjoy the process, the journey. What are some quick tips you can give where you can kind of get to that, okay, let me enjoy the journey, even if you're maybe just starting out, or you don't have all of the, you know, you don't have the full studio set up, or you're just working with the tools that you've got. How can you learn to just be grateful for what you have? Like, what are some tools you can share that have helped you?
Some tools to learn to enjoy the process. Remind yourself that every single day. Write that on a whiteboard or on your ceiling so you see it every time you wake up. Oh, enjoy the process. Got it. What I do is I still have a reminder every day with just a bunch of little praying hands, which is for gratitude. I think that is where what you're talking about, being grateful for where you're at right now. So every day I see that about 10 a.m. it goes off. And I might be thinking about it in the shower and walking to the train or whatever. And I'm just like, cool, I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful that I have great friends. Like, that is the process. So I think that's a really easy, simple thing that anybody can do, is just to realize that not everybody has what you have. And there's, you know, grass is always greener type of thing. Yeah, you want to get to this goal. You want to be a millionaire. You want everybody, you want, you know, a million streams, whatever it is. But if you don't respect the process and be grateful for what you have, then hitting that goal isn't going to be as satisfying, because you're just like, oh, cool, next one. And it just, the cycle continues until you're a stress ball, you know, with cancer or something. And you're just like, what happened? So really just understanding the power of gratitude, you know, not to, again, quote the great Gary Vee, but I think there is a lot of power in that. And that's, again, living in the now, sort of. You're grateful for what you have right this moment. In 4 seconds, it could be taken from you. So then, you know, that'll change. So being grateful for this moment is great. It's powerful.
Absolutely. I love that. That's very true. And something I heard recently is success without purpose is meaningless. So, yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know we've been chatting away, and we could probably chat for hours. I ask every single guest to kind of close it out with their words of wisdom. I know you've dropped a lot of gems and a lot of wisdom already, but anything that comes to mind that you kind of want to leave the people with?
Yeah, something we didn't really touch on heavily. Let's tie it all the way back to the music industry. I'm also a big believer in collaboration and collaborating with those around you, whether it's an artist or a producer. You know, what you can do now is cultivate those relationships that you may not even feel like are going to get you to that next level. Like, a good example I get is like, yeah, everybody wants the big artist to do a song with them, but you don't understand the power of the 10, 15 artists around you that might be those big artists one day. Like, cultivate those relationships, authentic relationships. Don't do it just to be, you know, for the clout. Like, actually grow that, because, you know, when you grow together, you glow together is the mantra. So really, instead of always looking for outwards and like, cool, who can I meet? Who can get me to the top? What kind of manager can get me? Like, the people around you in your circle or in your close immediate circles are probably the ones that are actually going to do it. So collaborate, the only competition that you have is really yourself from yesterday. So embrace that and work with others and ask questions and don't always be looking for the shortcut and just grow in the, within the industry. What?
Don't always be looking for the shortcut.
Yeah, stop looking for the shortcut.
It's so true. Very true. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Evan. It's always a pleasure having you on the show and vibing with you. I appreciate you very much. Before we close out, I'm really excited to share something that I feel I manifested a year ago. And it's so interesting how it's coming to fruition. And it's just an example of how, you know, what you put out there doesn't always manifest the way you think it will. But, you know, it's still happening, which is exciting. And that is the first Vibe Talk Music Festival, which I'm really excited to have you be a part of. Although in my mind, I kind of envision it being live as far as outside with people in proximity of one another. But as, you know, COVID happened, we can't do that, but that's okay. In a way, this is even better because we have people that are going to be tuning in from all over the world, literally. I have all of the guests that were on season 2 and 3 of Vibe Talk Music performing. So we have like Edgy V from Ireland. We have people from California, New York. So it's even better in this sense that we get to hear live music from all across the globe, as well as people speaking from all across the globe. So I'm really excited to have this and to have you be a part of it. So thank you so much.
No problem. Yeah. Looking forward to it. And yeah, I think that's a good piece of advice too. It's like, it's not always going to work out the way that you think, but it's still going to happen. Just believe that. It may not be exactly how it imagines or what you want to manifest. Yeah, I like that. But yes, I'm very glad to be a part of it. I'm excited to see what comes of it and, you know, what season, what are you on now? Season 4 is going to look like?
Exactly. We're on season 3 still. I don't even know why we have seasons. It's a podcast. It's like, whatever. It's the episode.
We're on season 12.
It's all good. But yeah, the festival is going to be September 19th, 2020. It's a Saturday. It'll be from 6 to 9. So for those of you listening, I know this will be on all streaming platforms. But yeah. If you're listening to this, it'll be September 19th, 2020. So be on the lookout for that.
Did you realize that that's basically exactly a year after the first season dropped? Because my birthday is September 18th.
It is. Wow.
I didn't know if you realized that.
No, I did not realize that. Yeah. I could have lied and said I did, but I'm going to be honest with you. No, did not realize that. That's beautiful. Like that. I love that. That's great. Timing is excellent. So yeah. Awesome. You'll be what? 21.
Yep. No. Plus 10.
Plus 10. Your first 21st birthday, plus 10.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You got it.
Awesome. Very cool.
Well, yeah, cool.
Thank you so much, Evan. I appreciate you. Yeah. And of course we'll stay in touch and tell everybody how they can best support you, where they can follow you, and we'll sign off.
Yeah. Hit me up, AC_Evan on Instagram. I've got a texting number. It's not up though, so don't worry about it. Hit me up on Instagram. Or you can check us out on artistcollect.com if you have some more information about how you want to get involved.
Awesome. Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. To stay in touch, please subscribe to my newsletter over at vibequeenmusic.com to stay up to date with my music, the blog, this podcast, and my segment on Instagram Live, Raise Your Vibe, which features a new guest and a relaxing guided meditation each week. Till next time, and remember, self-awareness is the gateway to inner peace.